I just invite you to not give the enemy one more second of your time and to step back and just say, okay, I was really created for intimacy and presence with God. And the loneliness and the ache and the confusion, the chaos of this pandemic season and this global crisis is an opportunity for me to reset that and to find once again that I've been invited into a non-striving relationship with God.
Welcome back to Let's Talk About It with Sons and Daughters, where we talk about the hard conversations, the questions some people don't want to ask, the questions we don't always have answers for. We are so excited to be able to have these conversations here and just further these ideas, these truths, and really get them into the hands and the minds of our generation. We are so excited to be launching this whole new season solely focused on identity, because let's face it, we need to know who we are. The problems we come up against in life, the problems we're seeing in our generation in this day and age, can be tackled with firmly knowing who we are in Jesus Christ alone. You may have seen our new book, I Am, that we've just released as a Sons and Daughters Collective, where we've had different voices speaking into these truths, into our identity, our God-given identity. But we wanted to go a step further. In this season, we'll be bringing on different voices of people that we are friends with, that we've looked up to, that are leaders and influencers in this realm and in our lives. We want to bring them on to speak to some of the questions we have that go further, that dive into our identity, how we're wired, what we're called to do, how we can be confident in who we are. So make sure that you subscribe, that you follow along with this podcast so that you can follow all those episodes. Today, I'm thrilled to introduce our first guest on the new season. Her name is Ruth Cho Simmons. She's a best-selling author, an artist, a speaker, and a brilliant woman overall. She will be sharing with us this idea of how we can be confident in our God-given identity and how that actually seizes striving. Take a listen to this episode. Let us know what you think. Get your notepad ready. Here we go.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
I'm so pumped. So you, just a disclaimer for everyone listening, you released a new book, and before you tune out hearing that there's another book out there in the stratosphere, I want you guys to pay attention, because this book is important, especially for our age demographic. We were just talking about how this is pivotal for how we see ourselves, how we interact with day-to-day life. So, Ruth, I just want to let you open up to what this book is and why it's a pivotal time right now to put something out there like this.
Yeah. The book is called When Strivings Cease: Replacing the Gospel of Self-Improvement with the Gospel of Life-Transforming Grace. And it was worth it to have a long title, Christian, because at the end of the day, we are a generation that can go to any bookstore, look on any shelf, and the best-selling books that are out there right now, the best podcasts, everything that's out there is a webinar on how to make yourself better. It doesn't take but 5 seconds on social media to get an invitation to join a new funnel or a new program, something to help you get your message out, gain more followers, develop your voice. All those are good things. And it's not even a bad thing to create your platform. I work on social media. I am somebody who became published and run my now international brand business based on the message I did faithfully through blogging and social media. This is not an against social media conversation. However, we are in a time where when I say, hey, we should really, as Christ followers, look at what God really offers to us instead of striving, that sounds beautiful. And you and I might be like, yeah, let's not strive. We need to rest. But then we, the next second, literally go back into that anxious sense of, oh my goodness, it's all up to me. And so the book is really written for anyone who might be listening today saying, I don't know why, but I feel like if I don't do it at the standard, if I don't measure up, if I don't hit these milestones for what my life should be. And I think a lot of 27-year-olds kind of go, I should have already started a nonprofit by now and have, you know, a huge platform on social media and a podcast. You know, like, I mean, it may feel like you have to do it all. The question is, when we keep saying over and over, whether we say it out loud or we just feel it, for the listener out there asking the question, why do I feel like I can't measure up? And if I don't measure up, how am I ever going to belong? How am I ever going to reach my potential? What if nobody ever really hears what's on my heart? And we feel this angst that we can't rest. We just have to keep pushing and pushing, pushing. Well, that formula for self-help, self-improvement, that constant sense of getting strategically to where you want to go is really the opposite of what God's offered us through grace, the formula for which he said, it's not your doing. It's mine, and my favor and my welcome is what's actually going to change you and transform you. And so I'm just fascinated by the conversation for our generation to really tackle, where do we really think change comes from, and why are we so exhausted trying to achieve that change in our lives that really ought to be coming from our relationship with the Lord and not from our own striving?
So good. I feel like there's a million points just from what you just said that we can go off and really necessarily need to dive deep into to, one, understand our relationship with Christ alone, but also how we do put things out there, partner with God, work for him to do things to our best. And what we've seen and what we hear a lot of is just knowing the power of testimony and how that reiterates and repositions how we receive messages. So it sounds like, I mean, you wrote a book on it. So it sounds like you've seen this in your own life of uncovering the difference between how do I know when I'm striving and when I'm working from this godly place of inspiration and dreaming. So can I ask you, what was that pivotal moment? Or how did you find that deciding factor, that fine line?
Well, I know we're on audio here, but if you and I were meeting, you'd be like, oh, not surprising, Ruth was born in Taiwan. I'm an Asian American woman who immigrated to the United States when I was 3. And so I've grown up in the US, but being raised between two cultures, if you've ever been around an Asian American family, you might have seen things like a high priority on achievement, academics, doing your very best, honor, really, really bringing, honor to your family, and actually really not settling for anything than the very, very tippy top. Well, in Western culture, we actually have very similar things. I mean, you and I know what it feels like to put a post out on social media and hope that it really, really gains traction, or write a blog post and go, did it get anywhere? Why do I only have 10 eyes on this when it really should be going viral? Or working really hard and getting your degree and finding that nobody's hiring you for what you think you're worth. And why is it so easy for somebody else to land this incredible corporate job right after they graduated? And I'm still working at Starbucks. Like, these are the things that we all feel. And especially in, for your listeners, I think these are the questions that we're all facing, right? That we're kind of going, what does it take for me to be enough? And I was raised in between two cultures where I put a premium on looking the best, being the best, achieving the most, getting through high school, being duly enrolled in UC Berkeley while I was still in high school, and being like number one at everything, right? I mean, on paper, I had it all together, and I never let my parents down. I was constantly that person who was like, if I just, you know, win the piano competition, get the scholarship to the right college, and make sure that everybody thinks that I'm just really the cream of the crop as a human being, then everything will go fine, except that it didn't. And you find that you really aren't walking in peace, and that you actually find that that performance, that cycle of performance, actually keeps you from understanding the gospel altogether, right? I mean, how do you really grasp the idea of grace from God when you spent your entire life striving and earning your way to other people's acceptance? And so I tell a little bit about my story for, if you're listening and you're Asian American, then brother or sister, I pray that you'll pick up my book, because I really wrote it from one heartbeat to another. But if you're not from an Asian American background, 100%, I think you will resonate with the fact that We've been raised in a performance culture, one that says you will be loved and received and welcomed if you are attractive, if you've earned your way, if you've proven how successful you are. And at the end of the day, we carry that into our relationship with God and wonder why we're limping along, powerless, always feeling like we're lacking. You would think that it's the world that would say, I'm not enough. But Christian men and women, whether we say it out loud or not, we're the ones who are often going, how do I show God that I'm doing enough? How do I find my place in the world? How do I find my purpose? When really we ought to be the ones who know our identities more than anyone else, right? And so that's what I'm really hoping to express and share with readers, my journey to really discovering that I could never be amazing enough to not need the grace of God. And that's the moment where I was freed from trying to fix my life and be the hero of my own story and save myself.
So good. And I love that you point out the certainties and like the areas and the intricacies of your story. But like you're saying, guys, we can all feel the tension of how we've picked up on this myth ourselves. Yeah. And Ruth, we're in the middle of this movement where we're telling people there's these statements that God speaks over us that are irrevocable. And that's things like, I am called, I'm secure, I'm confident, I'm loved. And what I'm hearing you say is, in our minds, we say these are accolades I need to achieve to be loved, to be confident. But what you're saying is basically the same thing. We are already these things, not by anything we can do on our own, but just simply because we are born in Christ. And I love that you're hitting this self-improvement myth, which, let's be honest, you know, we all have areas to work on, even continually now until we get to heaven. There's always areas we can strive to do better, but we can do that without striving in life. So I'd love if you share a little bit more of the self-improvement myth. You can't perfect yourself. How do you see that being so playing into this generation? Yes, but just this world that we are living in, this Western culture world.
You know, I just really noticed a couple of years ago that angst in me, like what was causing me so much anxiety? And it was the constant sense that I'm never going to keep up with how good I should be. Like I'm always falling behind. Like I should be accomplishing more. I should have done more by now in my life by a certain age, or I should achieve a certain status for the work that I do. We don't say those things out loud. Come on. Like, I mean, we're not weirdos here. Like we're not going to walk around acting like we're anxious and striving, but somewhere deep down inside, when we go back into our apartments or our homes and social media is turned off and we're kind of sitting in our beds, there's this angst and emptiness that really is that question of like, why am I not good enough? And what, and the social, the self-help myth is one where it's that you just need to work harder and try harder so that you will be the best version of yourself. And the truth is, it has a therefore, right? So, and if you do that, then you will therefore receive love, have friends, make more money, have a good life. All the things that we forget that we're striving, and I like to define striving this way, that striving is basically anxiously exerting energy and working really hard, anxiously doing so to secure something that you don't really trust God for. And so if you stop and think to yourself, okay, what is, you know, because there might be somebody might be listening right now and like, that's cool that you're talking about this. I'll stay on a little longer since I'm on a walk and I'm listening, but I'm not a striver. Like, come on, I'm not even striving. What are you talking about? Like, I barely work really hard. No, I'm not talking about like whether you're like a hard worker, an achiever. I'm saying, are you trying to manipulate and anxiously work out the details of your life so that you can gain something that you don't trust God for? That could be finances. That could be a spouse. That could be friendship. That could be approval from others. That could be a promotion at your job. My point is, we're all strivers because we all struggle with trusting God for His provision, and we want to land those things that we think will make our lives better on our own. So the self-help myth is basically craft your own life by being better. That's the whole message, right? The whole message in this generation through self-help is craft the best life you possibly can for yourself. Put yourself first and do it yourself. Take ownership and do it yourself so that you can get the life you want on your own back. Now, when I say that, the truth is we all want to improve and we want to grow. In itself, tools for self-improvement aren't bad. It's when we let that replace trusting God. It's when we start thinking that we have to accomplish those things in order to actually secure happiness and joy and purpose in our lives.
So good. I don't think I've ever heard it that way, or that analogy of striving isn't only when you're working hard. It's also when you're burnt out creatively. It's when you're anxious, when you are the person that's so ridden by worry that you can't get out of your bed. And have been heartbroken to see how many people have been in that category in the last 10 years increasingly, but also in the last year with COVID and everything, people just being so consumed by, I don't know where to turn. And like you're saying, it's because they don't know. It's God that positions those things. It's God that gives you even that direction. And I know you talk about this a little bit more in the book. Well, not a little bit more. I'm sure there's chapters for it, but you talk about how we can break the cycle of worry and fear. And do you have a practical sense, even for the person you're saying that doesn't realize they're striving right now, what is a practical way to identify and begin to break those chains?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And of course, it's a heavier and loaded, a longer thing that I can get into just here, but I will give the most simple, practical start right now thing to say is that the more we think on the greatness of God, the less we're going to think that we have to be amazing ourselves. So let me just start there. Let me start by saying, I think we anxiously strive when we're more impressed with ourselves than we are with God. So if we are a biblically illiterate generation that spends very little time actually knowing the character of God, we just kind of think he's a nice Santa that like we go to when we kind of need something. We'd really love for you to make it work out for me, help my move to New York go okay. Like if that's the level at which you have a relationship with God, you will continue striving because he's just that person you tap when you need, like you have a wish list or you just need a little help along the way. But who you really depend on is yourself. But what if you really did as the psalmist does, as the apostle Paul does, as everyone who encounters God does through scripture, is basically proclaim that he is God and you are not. The more you see that he is mighty and that you're really actually pretty weak, that he holds all things together and that you really don't control everything, the more we take into consideration Ephesians 2, you know, chapter 2, 8, 9, saying that God saves us by his grace, not on account of our good works. The more we wrestle with that and stop thinking that it's a boring Sunday school answer to things, but really go, wait, really, for real. Like, it doesn't matter if I got straight A's. It doesn't matter if I graduated summa cum laude. It doesn't matter if I'm, I don't know, the prettiest girl in the room. It does not matter. I do not have more favor because of how awesome I am. I need his rescue. And the more we start thinking, okay, God, I need you, the more we're able to stop striving. So for me, one of the things that I practically do every day is I don't assume that I remember these things. I don't assume and just know that I'm going to not strive today. I assume, but I'll forget. So I spend some time every day rehearsing how God is faithful, how God is mighty. Like actually go and like just like you said, like declare those truths in your life and remind yourself who God is because you really do forget. So the character of God is important. I step outside regularly. That's a really practical thing. Stop looking at your phone and clearing your inbox. Is having an empty inbox going to save you and make you your life perfect today? No, step outside, rest from your work and actually be amazed by who God is, right? Go, I did not create this. I did not cause the sun to set. And I think those little moments, and I said this before, if you've ever read any of my other books, I really, because I'm a creator, like I paint, I run a business based on my artwork, I write books. as a creative who works all the time on a digital device, I have to put that away to remember that everything was created by God and for God, and I'm not that impressive. And so those are two really practical things I do every single day to remind myself that I really, really can lay my strivings down because he actually is in control.
I love that. That's so beautiful. We even say that I am creative is not just because the talents we have within us, the talents you have within you, like you're saying, it's because you tap in to something that far extends the ability you have in your hands. And it's beautiful when we see it as a streamline and we can't take credit for it all. But I love what you said, and I want to go back to it, of being biblically literate. And I feel like we have been so inundated, similarly to the self-help, but just with gospel messages and preaching, and, you know, we have podcasts, we have videos, we have so much. And I think it's down to our generation's attention span. They say it's comparable with a goldfish. It is that low.
So bad.
And so bad. I know that there's some people on here that go, well, I tried to read my Bible, but, you know, I get distracted, or I do get an email come up, or I just don't understand it. What would your advice be for someone that is in that category?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I would say it's hard to feel hungry if you're constantly eating junk food. So first of all, I would say might be a good time to assess your what's inputting in your life. What are you feeding on day by day? Because somebody is discipling you, whether you know it or not. Something is feeding you, no matter what you, whether you're actively thinking that you're feeding on things, something is filling you up. And so it's going to be hard to recognize how much you're starving if you're kind of munching on Cheetos all day long. And I'm likening that unto if you're getting a little tiny little meme that tells you, God loves you. That's great. I love memes like that. I mean, I share memes like that. Well, you know, that's fine. But if that's the extent to your relationship with God, is little tiny little doses, little pops and moments of like, here's your hit of a little inspirational Christianity, then you're probably starving. And so it's a good thing to kind of assess and go, what's my daily consumption really like? Secondly, just on a practical level, I get it. I get distracted too. I can honestly tell you, just because I write books that talk about the glory of God, just because I paint paintings that try to reflect the glory of God, does not mean that I don't have to fight for a relationship with God. And so one of the things that I find for me is that I cannot get up in the morning, open my Bible, and keep my eyes open and not somehow either fall back asleep or be exhausted or miss half the stuff that I read and go, wait, I finished reading that chapter, but I don't know what I read. So one of the things I do recently is I actually listen to the scriptures while I read it. And so I turn my notifications off on my phone so it doesn't ding and ping with all my friends or whoever, you know. And I'm currently using the Dwell app, which I can choose what music I want in the background and I can choose the voice that I want. But I listen to it while I read. And so, you know what? I'm in Nehemiah right now. It's not that easy to read Nehemiah, you know, at least not the early chapters. And so I'm listening and reading at the same time. And that really helps me because Bible literacy isn't just about reading your favorite passages. I would love to just only read my favorite passages in Psalm 23 over and over again, right? It's really about knowing the entire story of redemption from beginning to end, from Genesis 1 to the last page of Revelation. And if we were to take him at his word and see the whole picture of that, then our strivings start looking a little bit silly because we can see over and over again how God says, you think you're in control. You think you can fix the situation. But the whole problem is, and honestly, right now for us in this pandemic, world turned upside down, everybody's aching and hurting and anxious season, it's kind of important for us to recognize right now that God is still at work. He is still actively at work, and he is still doing exactly what he's always done, which is, I've allowed the situation and the set of circumstances in your life because this helps you recognize that you are always meant to be with me, not striving on your own. And I just want to say to anyone listening, like, if you're feeling anxious, if you're feeling like this is the loneliest season you've ever experienced in your life, and no matter what you do, you keep feeling behind. And I mean, I'll just talk to the young ladies out there, because I mean, I'm a woman, so I know how it's felt in my life when you feel like you're constantly wondering if you'll lose that weight, or if you'll ever have those skills, if you'll ever be as dynamic as that other girl, and it's really easy to compare. I just invite you to not give the enemy one more second of your time, and to step back and just say, okay, I was really created for intimacy and presence with God. And the loneliness and the ache and the confusion, the chaos of this pandemic season and this global crisis is an opportunity for me to reset that and to find once again that I've been invited into a non-striving relationship with God. It's there for us.
I love that. Please, please take these words of wisdom as they are into your life, guys, and receive it as encouragement. And I want to ask one more question around, as we embrace this idea, as those women you're speaking to go, okay, I do want to lose the weight, I do want to be my best self, how do we go into the season with a mindset of what transformation versus just restriving again looks like? Specifically as the people that think, well, I've seen in my own life, sometimes grace looks like or feels like two steps back from where I was going when I was driving, just to be a course correction. How do we discern that? You know, you've said being in tune with God, not being overfed on social media and these other things that can take that voice that God has in our life. But how do we also just know, even when it feels like we're going the wrong way, to have that faith and to have that joy in those seasons when God is asking us to do things for Him?
Well, I think what you're asking is ultimately the question, I think I'm understanding this right, that ultimately the question is, we're not going to sit in our beds and just wait for things to happen. So how do we actually step out in faith and do what we are called to do, and not do it as strivers, and not like shrivel up and be exhausted in doing it? And honestly, the scriptures tell us to strive in grace, ultimately, to walk in the grace that's been given. So Paul doesn't tell us, so therefore, after you see that Christ has done all this for you, he doesn't say, therefore, sit back, chill out, relax, and just take a couple of weeks off and do nothing. You don't need to tell people about the gospel. You don't need to work hard at your job. Put on the weight. It doesn't matter if you're unhealthy. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, what does it mean when the scriptures tell us, so therefore, walk in a manner worthy of the grace that you've been given, of the calling, right? So if you have that grace, if you've realized that you've been saved by grace, you've been given the amazing grace of God to sustain you, then now walk in it. Walking is not passive, it is an intentional moving forward. So strive, but don't strive in an anxious, don't strive in a, I don't trust you, God, so therefore I have to strive in myself to gain what I want, but strive because he's already secured your identity on your behalf. And so go to the word and say, who do you say that I am? And I would assume that your community here is getting fed some of that and understands it. Like, our identity in Christ, if you are in Christ, your identity is not up for grabs. It is true and secure. And so take that to heart. If you're in Christ, your identity is already secure. So then you strive from a place of that identity being restful and true and unchanging. The whole world could fall apart, and that doesn't change who you are in Christ. You can get up tomorrow and go to work and do your very best and even earn that promotion because you're doing it for the Lord, not in order to earn his favor. You're doing it for God's glory, not because you're trying to get glory for yourself. There's a difference there in striving in grace versus striving in your own strength.
I love that. I love that one-liner. Just, your identity is not up for grabs. And that's so true, guys. I want you to really resonate on this. sit with these words, sit with the idea, even if it's uncomfortable to think, am I striving? That evaluation is necessary, even if it is daily. So Ruth, I just want to thank you for coming on, for imparting this wisdom into me and everyone listening, to all of our followers here at Sons and Daughters. And how can they best connect with you through your company, through your books? Where can they find you?
Well, it's my honor to encourage every day from my Instagram account. That's, you can find me at Ruth Jo Simons. That's RUTHCHOUSIMONS. And if you're interested in my artwork that accessible through products and books and all that stuff, you can find me at gracelaced.com.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today. And until
thank
next
you for
time.
Having me.
Wow, I hope you took notes during that episode, because I know I was on the other end. We're so thankful for Ruth imparting this wisdom into us, speaking on the idea of how we are confident. This declaration that we impose in the I Am book of I am confident carries such a weight and vitality to our identity that we can't afford to miss it. Speaking of the I Am book, we want to make sure that you get your copy. You can get that wherever books are sold, or you can go to sonsanddaughters.tv to get your copy today or learn more about the message. Make sure you keep up with us. You're following along with the podcast on Instagram, wherever you connect with us best, and we want to hear from you. What did you get from this episode? What questions can we tackle? What is it about identity that you come up against, that you struggle with, or that you just want to learn more about? Leave a comment, let us know, and until next time.